It's ready, right? Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chairman. Since it's the first meeting of this term of the HC, actually the Chair would like me to talk about what projects are we gonna carry on moving ahead with the suggestion made by members. And also in line with the policy directive as stipulated in the policy address and agenda, and also as outlined by our Secretary, I would like to provide for members a holistic plan of projects of all the upcoming that are going to happening, as well as studies to be undertaken. I would also talk about the corresponding organizational changes in the harbour unit. In the last meeting, I actually went through with members and talked about the increase in the length of promenades with the efforts on contributions of the Commission. Indeed, from 2010 till now, the Harbourfront Promenade has extended for more than 3.5 kilometres. And today, we are looking ahead and see what other projects we could conduct and take on board to ensure that our vision of vision and aspiration of having a vibrant, attractive and connected Harbourfront could be further fulfilled and satisfied. Now, I'm going to divide the projects into by the task force, the boundaries of our three different geographical task forces. So first of all, I'll talk about the Hong Kong Island projects. We would have a total of 12 projects suggested to be to proceed. The first two, A and B, are to be funded by the $500 million that has been earmarked to take forward Harbourfront Enhancement Initiative. So let's go through that two first. Now, item number A is the open space at the Eastern Street North Sai Ying Pun. Members will be quite familiar with the area here because not too long ago, the district officer actually came to brief the Hong Kong Task Force on doing a district works projects to improve the area through minor funds. But when we deliberated the use of the $500 million, members also agreed that with the completion of the signature project by the first quarter of 2018, members see the opportunity for us to make use of a sum in the $500 million to also provide a waterfront promenade that could connect the piers in the signature project and eventually to the Sun Yat-sen Memorial Park. So for this particular project, we are talking about a 450-meter-long waterfront promenade and about 1.4 hectare of open space. It would have to be conducted under a capital works project, meaning that even though the funding has been earmarked, we would have to go to that call for the proper funding allocation. And the estimated project cost, as of today, is about $150 million. And with all the works to be done, the completion time is estimated to be at the end of 2022. The second one project in Hong Kong Island that we propose to be funded and the HC agreed to use the $500 million to fund is an advanced promenade from Central and Western District Promenade Central Section, which is here. Right now, when people jog or walk to this end, they would have to go backwards because there are some construction works happening still. But very soon, actually in Q1 2018, the land will be available for us to do some work on this site. Now, after this promenade is built, there would be a further connection from the central promenade all the way to Wan Chai temporary promenade. And then because this temporary promenade is already available for use, and then to further east, I'm going to talk about later, it's an advanced promenade to be built as well. So the connection between Admiralty and Wan Chai would be enhanced through this advanced promenade. Now, this advanced promenade is not very long. It's 560 meters long, and it's a different width, but it's talk about 0.5 hectare. And the Harbour Office would take on board this project under a minor works project. That means that the cost is about $30 million. And because it's a quick win project, the completion time is expected to be sooner, which is the first quarter of 2020. Now, Paul actually mentioned in his remarks this third project that is on the western side of the boundaries of the Hong Kong Task Force. It's proposed to be a community garden to be tendered out to an NGO or a social enterprise to run a community garden that benefits the district and the community at large. I would like to take this opportunity to remind members here that the idea of having a community garden here actually arose from the Central and Western District Council. They actually passed a motion on the 20th of December 2016 asking for a community farm to be built in this particular area, noting that there is actually strong community demand for such services. And also, this area right now is allocated to the Marine Department. And even though you may have seen people going into the site, right now, actually they are trespassing into the area because it's not officially permitting people's public access. In a way, I do have pictures later to show members that they are quite fenced off already at the moment because for the public safety concern, we would actually really like to do some work here so that public can gain access to this site in a safe and pleasant condition. We have also briefed the Hong Kong Task Force at its meeting on the 12th of January 2017, and we actually got the majority support of this commission to also do a community garden here at this site. Because the area eventually was recommended to be developed into an open space under the conceptual master plan for the Western Harbour Front, while the long-term land use would not commence before 2021, we would like to activate this site by making use of it to benefit the public by opening up for a community garden purpose. And the open tender is expected to be issued in the first quarter of 2018. Now, moving a little bit eastward, then we enter into the signature project site that I just mentioned, that is on the adjacent to the project that we talk about to be funded by $500 million. This, we were briefed by the District Council earlier that they would like to activate these four existing piers that were there already, but they would like to build that into a multi-purpose area and also some theme seating area for better public enjoyment. I understand that the completion time is almost around the corner. It's in the first quarter of 2018, meaning that they can then open this up for public access and better enjoyment. Now, if we then move eastward into sites 1 and 2, that is two sites under the urban design study of the new Central Harbour Front, members may recall that under the UDS, they actually recommended using a PPP model to build a civic node and a mixed-use a commercial for in this area. A landscape deck is also mentioned to improve or enhance the connectivity between different structures in the area. So on this front, the Harbour Office has also secured funding to start and conduct a feasibility and business viability study to look into all the options that are possible for the best disposal of sites 1 and 2 according to the urban design study recommendations. So now we can report to the Commission that we now got the funding and the study would start. And of course, in the process, we would work in partnership very closely with the Harbour Commission as to see how best this could be done. Now, for moving a little bit to the east, to sites 4, 6, and 7, members would recall that the event space right now is situated on 4 and 7, a 3.6-hectare event space. And when we decided to do that short-term tenancy, we were also aware that these sites would not be available before 2020. And that's why we would look at them and see how the UDS recommendations or other suggestions could be taken on board later. This is the item G is an advanced promenade near Wan Chai Ferry Pier. Now, not too long ago, I talked about connecting Admiralty and Wan Chai. That would be around here. And then there's already a temporary Wan Chai promenade, and that would lead to this area with the Wan Chai Ferry Pier. Members may recall that when the MTRC came to consult members on works area requirement for the construction of Sha Tin Central Link, it was actually the efforts of the Harbour Commission and talking to CEDD and also to MTR and Highways to make sure that now they have all agreed to build this advanced promenade that could ensure a proper connection all the way from CEC to Wan Chai, and more, and of course it's also leading them to the ferry pier. This promenade, it's about 0.87 hectare, and we would be working together with multiple agents to make sure that it could be completed by 2020, so that even though they would still need works area around, it's a sort of a comparable or compensatory measure that the Commission has accepted to be a good advanced promenade for connection during the time when other areas are still necessary for works. Now, still on Hong Kong side, members have been in very close partnership with Plan D to work on this urban design study for Wan Chai North and North Point Harbourfront areas. And it need no reminder that we would have five character precincts under this urban design study. And there would be different availability in terms of land parcels in this area. And the Harbour Office would work with Plan D and other departments to see how best and to deliver the sites by the time that they're ready for implementation. So we would be finalising all the Harbourfront Enhancement Proposals together with members, and then work on, more importantly, the implementation agents and approaches. And then we move further eastward to the boardwalk scheme that we have been frequently updating members about. Now, right now, two community engagement exercises have been conducted. And right now, we are in close liaison with the Eastern District Council to try to work out a scheme that could be palatable to both the HC and DC to demonstrate this district and HC collaboration further before we commence a further CE3 process. So this, I think, members are very familiar with. That is 2KM, a creative idea of having a boardwalk underneath the IEC. And then for the Cory Bay Waterfront Development, members would know that we now have an advanced promenade at the CH, and also there's a pet garden here that will be built also under the steer and leadership of the Harbourfront Commission, so that members of the public could already enjoy this part of the waterfront right now. So we are aware that in terms of land availability, this parcel would be much more available than this portal site, which is still being used by different government departments for their needs. So we are also aware that there are different proposals on the best use and disposal of the site, and we would await further discussion of this by the Hong Kong Task Force and also with different stakeholders in the community, including what Maggie talked about, the project that has been undertaken by different NGOs. And apart from the $500 million that have been earmarked specifically for Harbourfront Enhancement, I have also briefed members in previous meetings that in the government actually separately allocated a huge sum of money to the Home Affairs Bureau, stroke LCSD, for them to implement or to develop a series of open spaces or sports grounds around the territory. And a lot of them actually fall into the Harbourfront areas. So I will also collate them into here for a more holistic and comprehensive understanding of what's going to happen on our harbour front. Now, item K is exactly one of these cases. It's on the eastern side of the Hong Kong Island, and it's near to Ettridge Bay, and it's a 1.2 hectare sports centre and open space. We understand that the LCSD and HGB will commence technical feasibility study of this project and come in within the next 5 years. Now, altogether, I would like to inform members that in the Hong Kong Island side, after doing all these projects, it's expected that the promenade on the Hong Kong side could be extended for a further 3.6 kilometres. So if we actually take into perspective that from 2010 to 2017, we actually did, for the whole territory, about 3.5 kilometres, it's actually quite a remarkable comparison, even just on the Hong Kong side. Now, let me move on to Kowloon Task Force side right now. And under the Kowloon side, we have 7 projects that are possible for us to take forward. The first one is, as the Secretary mentioned, the urban park in front of the Hong Kong Ferry Pier. It would also be funded by the $500 million, and the proposed scope of work is as follows. We understand that the area size is about 2.2 hectare, and it actually was first raised to be implemented under the Hong Kong District Study that was completed in 2008. Because of the area size and also the amount of work that is involved, the capital involved would render it become a capital works project. And the Harbour Office will be the project proponent to take this forward. And in terms of the timing, we would expect a completion time with the end 2022. However, we understand that there is a time between now and 2022, and we would see the possibility of using actually part of this site to try and see whether we can actually do what the policy address or the policy agenda initiative that the Secretary has just read out, and see if there's a possibility that we can, say, use 8,000 square meter out of the urban park for a short-term project with district collaboration. Now, we don't have any view on what's best in terms of the use right now, because we understand what members said. We would like to talk to the community, talk to the district, and talk among ourselves to see, okay, now we can think of this land as a possible use. So we would like to listen more before thinking about what's best to be done here. But at least in terms of availability, we have identified this to be a possibility that we can think about using that option to gather the experience that we so necessarily need. Now, apart from Hong Ham, we also in Kowloon Task Force are actively talking about the enhancement of the Tsuen Wan waterfront. This section that has been demarcated in red on the slide. Now, because we actually have been hearing views and needs from the districts for some years already, so we understand that there is actually the demand for this section, which is currently available, but it's under different management agents. And the members of the public would like to see some improvements to this area. Now, the size that we're talking about, it may not be huge. We're talking about a 500 meters long passageway. And we also expect that because we want something to happen visibly within a short period of time to keep the momentum going on, so we would like to allocate $30 million, that is a quick win project, to improve the area. But in terms of the scope of work and also how the theme and the design are going to be. Some of you, the Kowloon Task Force members, have been working on this. We actually had a meeting not just 2 days ago, and also a meeting has been scheduled with the Tsuen Wan District Council for both parties to come together and talk about the aspirations and the different expectations, and also the scopes or the facilities to be included in this particular work. So this is an ongoing process, and also we just had a start. However, I think it's also very significant because it also represents this coming together between HC and also the district very proactively to work on a Harbourfront enhancement initiative. Now, connecting to this promenade, further down east, it's Tsuen Wan Riviera Park and Tsuen Wan Park. Now, this is actually has been included in the 5-year plan that I mentioned. That means the funding has been earmarked for HB to take it forward. And it has agreed to commence a technical feasibility study for this area in the next 5 years. Now, I talked about the potential for parts of urban park to do a short-term district collaboration. We also see similar potential for this site in Tsuen Wan at Hoi Kok Street for a similar experiment or pilot scheme to take place. Again, we would like to hear more about the potential uses, but at least it's an open space that is available right now, and we can actually start this brainstorming and thinking process as to how to make the best use out of it. Moving to other parts of Kowloon, these two areas in Hong Ham Waterfront and Hoi Fai Road, they both are open spaces, and they are also, under the 5-year plan of the HAB LCSD 5-year scheme. Mm-hmm. And then the same goes with the open space at Hoi Fai Road and also at Kwai Chung Park, as well as Yes, and that's it. And so for Kowloon, we expect that there would also be a substantial improvement in terms of the area size of the open space. So it's a lot of 7 projects altogether. And in Kai Tak, we would expect to see 5 projects that already got funding that we can see results in a relatively short period of time. Now, the first two are the Avenue Park and also the Hoi Sam Park extension, which Paul also mentioned. These two have also been included in the 5-year plan to commence in the next 5 years. The same goes with the Station Square, which is surrounding the Kai Tak Station, and also the Waterfront Promenade adjacent to the Hong Kong Children's Hospital, the design of which, actually the design of both, have been seen and sort of commented on by the task force. The EKEO is also taking forward the improvement work at Hoi Ban Road Park and adjacent area, and they are actually seeking funding approval, meaning that the completion time will be even sooner than the rest of the projects that I just mentioned. So for Kai Tak, we always talk about there are like 11 kilometers of promenade. We expect that it could also, just these projects, could extend the promenade for about 2 kilometers already. Now, apart from promenades that I have talked about, in terms of providing extra or additional connections and access for the public to enjoy, the Harbour Office will also take on different studies to facilitate the transformation of the Commission and also the Office, and also to help the Commission to fulfill some of its aspirations that it has. Now, the first one is on wayfinding. This project actually has been agreed to be funded by the $500 million dedicated funding as well. So we are actually in the stage of collating information and doing researches, and to then issue a brief to invite tenders to talk about how to facilitate people, especially to go from the hinterland to the harbourfront areas. Now, we will expect the study to look into different countries in their concept and application of wayfinding concept, and with particular attention, of course, on within harbourfront areas and also from the hinterland to the harbourfront. We would also expect the study to talk about to select or identify suitable pilot areas to implement some of his recommendations to be set out by the study. We hope that there would be concrete and operational deliverables to put forward for members' deliberation. So we would kickstart this project in 2018. We already, because of the funding that has been earmarked under the $500 million. And the second study that we would embark upon, actually we actually have started this one under the Harbour Office, is that we have been looking into the, to identify, examine and formulate a feasible continuous cycle track all the way from Sheung Wan to Quarry Bay without dismounting, and also using the shared use concept between pedestrians, vehicles, pet owners and the like. Now we actually have been working with a consultant on some of these proposals, but when ready or where we have a little bit more information, we'll definitely engage the Commission to look into how best this could be done, because and members of the Kai Tak Task Force may be aware that the Kai Tak Office has been working on a cycling network in Kai Tak District, but because of the contour and the profile and the width of the promenades are quite different between the Kai Tak area and this part of Hong Kong. So we would like to, we have actually started this study to look into this particular area and see what are the challenges and what are the possible solutions that we could, you know, get on with this cycle track idea. The third study that we have also provided funding for is to look at some of the piers in Hong Kong. I think it was some of the ideas that that actually got generated from members' discussion in previous meetings, and that is we have seen some of the piers around the territory now currently quite underutilized, and so we would use this opportunity to look into possible potential to open them up either for public enjoyment or to see whether we can put some vibrant use into it so that there can be business potential, and also to most important of all is to activate them to make better use out of them. Now, apart from the studies and promenades and all these works projects, we also expect to see the need for our harbour office to be transformed into a more all-encompassing structure. Now, right now we are more of a secretariat support and also coordination work job. However, we would like to transition ourselves into become an agent or an organ that can also provide project implementation, meaning that we possess more staff and more skills in that sense to provide a more like a one-stop shop to provide just not just design but implement and build kind of services or use in the harbour office. Just taking a look at the manpower in the office, comparing 2009 to now, we actually have a much increase in terms of number and also in the components on the composition of our team. But of course, we understand it's a gradual step, and we understand what members talked about in terms of the need for a holistic or a single team to be multidisciplinary, to be able to provide a holistic planning, urban design, management, and public engagement and funding, all these functions under the same roof. So we are aware of this comment by members, and we would be taking steps to make sure that our office could go towards this direction. And in search for this new body, one of the studies that has been agreed by the Commission to take on under the $500 million funding would be very important and also very necessary, because we think that to look forward or to transform ourselves into a position that we think are comfortable or the best to suit with the new direction, we think that we need to at least identify some shortcomings, of course, to acknowledge them, and also to see how best to put forward flexible arrangements, how to put forward creative and unconventional development parameters, and also to recommend possible alternative management models and tools, as well as manpower and financial requirement under this new model. So with that, I would like to conclude my presentation and look forward to members' comments.
Thank you very much, Christine. Thank you. Obviously, a long list and a lot of projects. I mean, just a couple of observations and then I'll throw it open. I mean, a lot of the projects are not within our control, if I may put it that way, or even not even within the Development Bureau's control. All those public space projects are HAB. Now, how on earth do we manage and achieve an involvement in those projects? I mean, that's something I'd like to understand better in due course. The other thing is on studies. I think it's essential that you involve the Commission right at the beginning when you embark on these studies, particularly in the scoping of the studies. I mean, maybe others have realised you were doing this bicycle study. I had not. I was not aware that you were doing this bicycle study. I mean, I think certainly the Hong Kong Task Force would have liked to play a part in scoping the study and also monitoring its progress. So no surprises, I think, going forward. I think we'd like to be involved, we want to be involved in all these studies going forward. But members, thoughts, please. Yes. Tony, please.
Thank you, Chairman. And thank you for the updates of various projects, the Harbourfront projects. I think as a member of the Harbourfront Commission, of course, I would like to see these projects can be completed and made available to the public as soon as possible. To this, of course, I'm a bit disappointed about, you know, the setting of the Harbour Office, because I note that there are quite a few projects mentioned just now still have to, you know, the agent, the implementation agent and the management agents had yet to be determined. And as Chairman already pointed out that, you know, some of the, you know, the monitoring or overlooking of this project, the progress, etc., actually is not within the Development Bureau as well. And to this, of course, I may not be right, but I doubt, you know, the you know, whether these the progress of this project would be taken as a, you know, top priority or high priority by, you know, the various departments responsible for the implementation. So the point actually I would like to mention is, you know, what will be, you know, the plan for, you know, for the harbor office to take over, you know, the various projects which are going to be funded at least by the 500 million. And the second question is particularly on one of the projects, which is the terminal close to the Wan Chai Ferry Pier. I note that the site availability is the second quarter of 2018, but this design will be designed, will be commenced also the second quarter of 2018. I don't see any reason, you know, why we couldn't complete or proceed with the design earlier, so that I think to go back to my, you know, expectation that it's hope that, you know, this project can be complete and made available to the public for their enjoyment as early as possible. Chairman, if you allow, maybe, you know, Christine can also tell us more, or Michael can tell us more about, you know, what, of course, I note that at the moment there are 17 staff, you know, of the harbor front office. But what will be the next, you know, in the next few years, what is the plan actually in order to take over more of the harbor front projects by the office? Thank you, Chairman.
What resources will be needed?
Yep.
Thank you, Tony. I think I saw a hand. Please. Yeah.
Exciting to see the sheer quantity of initiatives throughout the territory. I guess one of the things that that I brought up in previous one of the previous meetings was how do we look at the harbor, and how do we look at it in a holistic manner, so that it's not just looking at the sheer quantity of, like, in terms of distance surface area or just measuring the quantity, but also looking at the quality and you know, the end product and how people can really to create something that really makes a difference down the road. And I guess one of the things that kind of, you know, throughout the presentation that popped up was from a design standpoint, I see ArchSD a lot, almost every single project. I know, in Harbourfront Commission and sort of its mandate. But I, as one look into sort of, you know, that sort of top-down strategy in terms of, you know, what we want to see, you know, with the harbourfront throughout the territory, I think it just struck me how it seems like we're already kind of, we're looking at all these amazing projects, you know, prospect, but then nothing against ArchSD, but it would be nice to bring in, you know, the energy from the Hong Kong and the international design community in terms of, like, really bringing about fresh ideas for a lot of these initiatives. So I don't know what, how much or little we can do as a commission, but I just wanted to point that out and see how we can push as much as we can.
No, I think it's a very good point, and we can influence. I think we can influence. Maggie, and then I'll come down the left side. Thank you.
I'd just like to ask how
the new Harbour Office is going to engage with the public on these and is going to really follow up on placemaking and all the things we talk about in trying to improve some of these districts along the promenades. I have to say that when we went to a meeting earlier in the week, nobody seemed to have thought about placemaking or asking people exactly who live around that particular area what they really want. It was simply the DC's view on what they wanted. And then there didn't seem to be any involvement of the public and the community in actually how that might be designed and turned out after we start. And I would like to feel that we are actually consulting the public and having them engaged, and there was sort of people participation, at least at some stage or another, and preferably near the beginning, so that nobody does a lot of work and then finds it's not really what people want.
Thank you. Right, let's work down the left. Becky, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think this is really an impressive list. So in a sense, that's also helped us to put all these different pieces to form a bigger picture. So I think this is an exciting kind of juncture for the Harbourfront Commission, but I just want to make two observations. I think as we move forward, it's very important that we're being guided by the Harbour Planning Principles, number one, and number two is what Michael and Terry has emphasized so much, that is community involvement. The need for us to respect and not to dictate what the community, district council, people wants. Somehow I think we have to be realistic that we have to go through this process to gain the knowledge and skills of working together with district councils, including district council and the community. So I think that's important. That's point number one. And number two, I think for the Harbour Office, especially as they work towards this, this is really a tall order. I hope that, you know, that we could see, for example, in the earlier meeting that perhaps, you know, within planning department, you already have a number of placemaking experience and so on. It's not that we have ignored it. We have recognized that it's important, but there's already a number of expertise, you know, and the support from LCSD, ArchXD, et cetera. I hope that we could see something that could really strengthen Harbour Office to deliver what our expectations would be on them to move forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. KY, thank you.
Thanks. I concur with Becky that this is a very impressive list. It would be nice if you can achieve all this, but of course, first step is to put it on the agenda, put it down clearly. I do doubt that even with the expanded Harbour Office, it's putting quite a lot of stress on them in terms of resources, particularly manpower resources. But one aspect that maybe I do not hear from Christine's presentation is how do we work with the district council and the other bodies at the district level? And that, of course, is linked with Maggie's point about public engagement. Well, we have been always taking the approach that we engage the public in all harbourfront-related projects. But the district council, they are a formal setup in a way that I won't say that so far the Harbour Office serve as sort of linkpin. They go to present the district council on issues, and then the Harbour Office of course work closely with us. But I think we do need to actually work closer together, not necessarily on a formal structure of but at least the way we work, in a way that There are always the cases that we share the same aspiration. And in fact, the last time I was in this meeting, there was the Hong Kong Task Force in the AOB item. I guess we share the same anger, right, about that development at Quarry Bay Harbour Fund. I understand this Eastern District Council actually had a meeting in the afternoon. So how do we actually work closer together to make sure that the projects go on much more smoothly?
Thank you. Ivan?
Thank you, Chairman. What I see, now we have the Harbour Office. We have the commitment from the government to input more resources, manpower. But right now what we see in the Harbour Office from the professional colleagues, two architects, one engineer, which I think is definitely insufficient. I will see all this project presented by Christine as a great opportunity for us to have a much bigger engagement of the public, the local design talent, as well as a wider spectrum of the management agent. And in particular, in as a professional, I was fully aware of the hard work, the difficulties, and the persistence in the coordination, monitoring, supervision, in a more designed-orientated approach to implement each of this project throughout the whole process. And I think that we need a lot more professional colleague, or even more experienced and competent professional colleague from the government to join the Harbour Office, number one. Number two, I think we need to think about think away from the normal procurement process of the government, always engaging this company started with a global consultant firm and end up with standard solution or recommendation to all our community public space. So I think we should, using this opportunity, to engage more local designer, more local talent to work together with us to deliver a more wider range of variety of different space and different project for us. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much. Anybody else on the left-hand side? Please. Yeah. Then we'll come to you, Paul. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to record my concern on the budget allocated to the Chun Huan West Waterfront Enhancement. What I notice is about 30 million only. That is far, far below the need for enhancement. I believe 30 million is just enough for just normal replacement of the tiles or some of the chairs only. So I would like to ask for a review on the budget for this particular project. Otherwise, it is a meaningless effort for all of us to do this later on.
Thank you. All right. Paul, please.
A number of observations. My list of 59 projects has just grown with the presentation from Christine to about 66, 67 projects. I think it would be good for the entire committee to see a proper list showing the size of each, the land involved, whether or not there is a plan, whether or not the land has been available and since when the land has been available.
Sorry, you're talking about your 66, are you?
Well, I'm talking about Christine 60. I talk about the waterfront as a whole, Chairman, the area that's under our responsibility. I just note from Christine's presentation that, we are behind. Land is available and has been available and is used for temporary uses because we haven't done anything. There is land that will be available soon, and I think Tony put it out very clearly. He said, the land's going to be available in 2018, you start planning in 2018, how long is this going to take before you're not going to use it? I mean, if you take the time for planning and then organize your resources for implementation by the time it's available, we're behind schedule on given the availability of land. And I think that the public and government and this commission should have a very clear view on where we are in terms of the areas and the projects and the sizes and the amount of money and the numbers of hectares. And I think we've got to get some absolute honest clarity about that so that we can see the task that we're facing. Because if we do, and we would be a commercial operation, we would go in panic mode and we get organized. And I think we've got to get clarity on that as soon as we can. And I noticed that some of the projects, why do we say 2022 for the Hung Hom bus terminus when the land is available and the building is ready and the hotel is being used and the hotel is open and parties are being used? Why is the park not ready? So we're running behind on a real basis. So big scope of work to be done. I agree with Alan that we've got to get an overall vision for the harbour and clearly identify, so which are the areas that are going to be our activity nodes, your kind of outstanding zones, where is it going to be, where's the, like we've got to have a clear view on that, and which harbour fronts are basically going to be fairly residential, quiet. You can go for a jog and go fishing, but, you know, there is, so there are very different styles of these, and I think we've got to get some clear views about where we want to achieve what around the harbour. I also fully agree with the call for a differentiation of design resources that are employed. I think that's a very good point that's been made in the meeting, and I like, but that means that as a harbour office, if you do that, you have more people to manage and more organisations to manage, and you have therefore also more unintended consequences. But I think it's important to go to do that, and I fully support the call from Maggie, of course, on community planning. And that we have a very clear view about the quality of that and what we're going to do. Does community planning got to be fairly resulting in fairly long-term plans, and then out of those plans we can see what can be implemented early and what's going to take time to implement, which is very much what happened with DERF in Kowloon City. The document is a long-term view, but it has a lot of projects in there, and each project then has its own implementation schedule. I support on this side of the table the call for more resources. I think that the Harbour Office is limited, but I would put a point here. Christine is leaving. Larry's gone. Very soon. The civil service department is going to take him, put him somewhere else, because he's at his end of his time as far as civil service department is concerned. Unless Christine changes the civil service department.
But just one key fact: Christine is going to be posted to the civil service bureau.
So let's. So if Christine is going to work for the harbour front. If this is your strategy, Michael, together with Kerry, to rig the entire government system to help the harbour front, then I'm glad that it's on. I'm glad you made that in a public meeting, that comment, so that the whole of Hong Kong is aware of that, that this is the organisation behind how we're going to fix the harbour front. So thank you for that admission in public. But the it is an issue. The harbour authority was supposed to address that. This kind of ensuring that there was going to be longevity, that we build up experience that is not going to walk away because civil service pushes you somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Civil service defines the talent that goes to the government department, not the talent. It is not a recruitment exercise. So who comes to the civils to that particular department may not be somebody who has particular strong experience in doing good community planning or doing good project management. It is what is available according to the schedule of the civil service department at that time. So that limitation of the harbour office was going to be resolved by having a harbour authority. Now we're not going to do a harbour authority. It's then on government to resolve that issue that we have longevity. In the harbour office, that we have depth of knowledge of what happens around the waterfront, but also depth of knowledge on what is a good process in placemaking and what is a good process in implementation. Short-term tenancies should be a strategic exercise, not because the land is left over and district council want parking, but it should be a tool to activate the land and test out a solution that you have decided on, not the other way around, because the district council mentions that there is a long waiting list for community gardening, so let's use community gardening in an area which is actively used by people to go cycling, dog walking, and drone flying, and there may be a bit of a conflict there. So, Chairman, I think we need a rethink, we need a proper plan, we need full information as being requested, and then we need to get to reconvene this meeting and possibly off-site, kind of sit together and kind of figure out what is going on and how many resources. I can't see 17 people doing 73 kilometers, 67 projects, including proper placemaking, good timekeeping and implementation, and $20-30 billion at least to be spent here, because that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about $500 million. We're talking about $30 billion. And so I think that we need to get more serious about our job, Chairman.
Thank you, Paul. Michael, I think you'd like to comment. Yeah, thank you.
not in any particular order, but I will try my best to respond to the observations made. Maybe to pause first. We also offer transparency. So I don't see any reason why the information herein cannot be made public, but maybe in a form that is understandable by the public. So I guess the Secretariat and Chair can together discuss what's the best way in which the information can be provided, but I see no reason why not. Harbour Office, actually, Chong-Li, Paul, and a few other members made observations. May I first say this? The government has no intention to turn the Harbour Office into an LCSD. Having responsibility over all harbourfront matters, that would not be the idea. I think Paul referred to the work of EKEO. Now, if we draw an analogy, so what the EKEO does, it activates, it facilitates, it does matchmaking, but it does not itself, most of the time, it does not itself do the day-to-day management. You take the promenade, the Kwun Tong Promenade Park, as an example. After the planning, after all the facilitation, the actual day-to-day operation is done by LCSD. And there's a center right inside that recently actually EKEO essentially contracted out to an outside organization to do that at an exhibition place right inside the park. So looking forward, I guess we are looking at pretty much similar possibilities with the Harbour Office. Yes, we do expand the manpower of Harbour Unit into a Harbour Office. And yes, the increase is not that substantial. But going forward, especially for projects not within the $500 million ambit and not within the HAB projects ambit, Quarry Bay, for example, I think we discussed that a lot. I do think it has a lot of potential for various forms of participation by the community, including, even some of the works there can be done in a form that does not involve direct participation by government departments. I think really it's up to the Commission and in policy with us to discuss the way forward. I think on this point I can speak for CE as well. I mean, the public service departments, we all work very hard. We are loyal. We have the interests of Hong Kong at heart. But there are limitations, very true limitations. If you're looking at flexibility, you're looking at innovation, sometimes the government bureaucracy is not in the best position to provide those kind of elements. And we look to the NGOs, to the private sector, to the community to provide those inputs. So looking to the future, for some of the projects that are on that list, maybe that will be the best approach going forward. And again, the Harbour Office will just like the EKEO plays an activation, planning, facilitation role. Consultation. I do understand the frustration expressed by Maggie, but I will also say this. For most of the projects, I guess the main counterpart of both DEVB and the Commission will be the district councils. That is the system. For some of the mega projects, maybe you can think about widening the scope of consultation appropriately. So that has to be looked at on a case-by-case basis. But then you have to take into account things like timing and resources. I believe that we cannot do wide-scale consultation for all the projects, especially some of the smaller-scale projects on the list. I mean, that would not be a pragmatic way forward. If I can pick up one point made by Francis, I think I do understand the concern over the amounts of money, but I'll share with you just two facts. One is that there was the Harbour Unit. I think on one or two occasions we were able to make do and to improve the promenade with lesser money. The thing about this is this. First of all, it was discussed at the previous term of the Harbourfront Commission, and it's all part of the $500 million. So if you increase this amount, some other part may have to suffer. So at the end of the day, I think it's our collective decision and wisdom, but that's one point. The other point is there's nothing magic about the sum of 30 million, but there's one technical point. If you go over 30 million, then you involve going to our legislature. I'm not against that. That's the rule. But you have to take into account the time and also the resources. So again, it's some careful balancing that we have to do. And lastly, something close to my heart, I think I should say it as well. I guess from Paul's remarks, you are happy with the service provided by Larry and Christine. Paul, I guess so. So I do hope that you'll be equally satisfied with the services to be provided by Rosalind and whoever is going to succeed Larry. So,
thank you very much. We're very happy. Christine, do you want to pick up? I'm going to ask just Christine to pick up perhaps the points that the Secretary didn't cover. And then I think I'm going to suggest what we do in terms of taking things forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I would just like to supplement on the engagement part and also the manpower requirement. Now, right now, we as I mentioned in the PowerPoint, it was a gradual step of transforming the harbour unit into a harbour office with more staff and more manpower and different skill sets. And because, as the Secretary mentioned at the forefront, we are going with a lot of pilot projects and to test out how best to do this exercise with different projects with different nature. So I also understand that for EKEO, for instance, they would have some specialized personnel from a place called placemaking manager. So they must be people that would be very skillful in doing more public engagement kind of work. So even though right now the Harbour Office only has AOLs and EOLs and architects and engineers, but we would actually be using the study that I mentioned about, the important one at the end, to look at what actually we need. And then from there on, after we try a couple of projects as well, together we can then deliberate on the actual need of the future Harbour Office as to respond to all these new projects that we are going to take on board. So I think it's an interactive process, and it's not one that we should dictate right now and to say like, okay, in 10 years' time, we're going to have X number of just this type of profession. Maybe by then we'll need designer, we'll need different kind of professional inputs to the office for it to function. And secondly, in relation to the engagement process, I think the Secretary also made it clear that it's always a compromise or a discussion between timing and funding and all these needs. And I think increasingly there are the mechanism of a lot of different groups to come to us and also to DC to express their views as well. Even for the Kennedy Town project, we had a couple of letters tabled at each member's expressing some NGOs' views on the project as well. So I think HC has been playing this very open and liberal approach as to accede to a lot of requests from different bodies to come to us and to speak to us, and also we go to them to consult them on different issues. So I think HC has been leading in this aspect, and I'm sure that further on we would only do that even more intensively. But of course, the Chin Wan project and also the IEC boardwalk project, I would see are the two major ones that that need very close working relationship with the DC to make sure that eventually the product would be you know, would be a good one, palatable to all parties concerned. Some members talked about, oh, could we do things earlier? Now, the timetable that we have provided for members in the PowerPoint are actually the earliest availability that we expect the land to become available. And I also note members' suggestion of let us do the design ahead of the availability. I think that's something that we can definitely consider. But in terms of the Wan Chai Very Pier 1, indeed, it was not too long ago that we just received that confirmation from different departments saying that they were willing to help out different parties, CEDD Highways, MTR, RHSD, all come together to help us in the providing this advanced promenade but, in different parts. And I'm sure that even though the land would not be immediately available, as long as RHSD has some initial design, we can immediately then ask them to come to the task force to consult us on the design, so that eventually when the site becomes available, then maybe the design would already be ready. So we are conscious of that possibility of parallel conduct of work. So we'll see where different projects could adopt that similar model or principle as well. So my response is basically that.
Thank you very much. And obviously we're not going to resolve this today. I mean, this is a long-term project, a long-term plan. What I'm thinking is and we probably may need a special meeting for this, but just listening to members' comments and sharing with my own thoughts, and taking your point, the need for context. We're in danger of embarking on another jigsaw exercise, as I call them, where we're looking at little individual components and we're not looking at the whole. I do think as a commission, this is a commission role, I think that we do need to start to think about what is this vision that we have for the harbour, and how do we relate it to the community, and how do we secure community support? Because I don't think we can make the sort of investment we're looking here in a vacuum. I think it has to be against a master plan, if you like, or a master concept. I don't like the word plan, master concept. And we don't have that, in honesty. We don't have that. So I think that's work for the commission. That can be going on in parallel to the exercises we've been talking about today. I think there's a need for prioritisation. You know, let's take Christine's list for a start, but obviously Paul's got some other projects he thinks we should be looking at as well. Let's come up with a short, a medium and a long-term 10-year plan. I mean, this is what you do if you're in my business. You know, map it out, prioritise. I suggest the prioritisation is done at task force level. So what I'd like to see happen is that each of the task force looks at the projects that are suggested in their on their turf, if you like, on their waterfront, and really does some close homework on them and comes back to the commission with a view on prioritisation. I agree also that there's need for diversification in terms of response. I think we're not looking at a RHSD response in every case. We're not looking at the LCSD response. We're looking at much wider, diverse menu of inputs, I think, particularly from the private sector. So I think when the task forces are looking at the individual projects, I think, again, I think we'd want them to think about how they might diversify the design responsibility, and indeed the ultimate management responsibility. And then I think, again, we need to talk, and it's probably something we probably talk at commission level about this issue of engagement, which everyone's been quite rightly focusing on. How are we working with obviously with the harbour unit, going to engage with the community? And there will be different levels of engagement, I think, depending on the size of the project. But to me, it's not just engaging with the DC. The DC may purport, if you like, to represent the community, or may claim to represent the community, but we do find very often that they have one view, if you like, and the community may have several other views. So I think we're duty bound, if you like, to not only talk to the DCs but talk to the stakeholders at large, I think I would describe it as we look at these projects. So I think work at a commission level and work for the task forces, and if you agree, I think that's how we take things forward. But happy to have any other suggestions or comments. I hear the requirement for action. I hear the requirement to move things forward. That's why I want the task forces to start really to look at these projects and help the harbour unit to move them forward. I think we also need Christine, or Rosalind, I think it would be you, a close dialogue, early dialogue with HAB. I'd like HAB to come and see the commission and tell us how they're going to deliver the projects we've seen today, and how they envisage delivering them, and see if we can form some sort of alliance or partnership with them, because it's not going to happen otherwise, or it'll be a long time happening otherwise. Mm-hmm. Members, sorry, Becky, yes, sure, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I just wonder, your idea of the master concept, I think this would be a big step forward, other than the harbour planning principles that we will build on. I just wonder whether you have any idea how you would take this forward, because it's not part of this. Is there something that, you know, we can take that forward, pick that up? How would you suggest?
Well, we need perhaps to review structure, and again, it's, I was going to perhaps raise it under any other business and terms of reference. We have four task forces at the moment. We have the three geographic and we have the land-water interface. I'd like to talk to KY about how you see the future of land-water interface, but to be honest, at times we struggle to find an agenda for that particular task force, so maybe that, you know, we could use the resources in a better way, cut things back to the three task forces, and then maybe we have another task force which takes forward this master concept challenge. Those who really want would like to get involved in planning the harbour in its entirety could work as a task force, and then bring ideas back to the commission. So maybe we have a fourth task force, master concept task force. That would be just a thought anyway for today. Yeah. All right, members. Thank you very much. Thank you.